Even 2,000 years ago, the enemy devil and Satan, they try to disturb the work of God, mobilizing evil people to groundlessly accuse the men of God. In Matthew chapter 12, from verse 9, we can see such a scene. Verse 10 says, "And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him? According to the traditions of the elders, and according to the word of God, you must not work on the Sabbath." Of course, it means you must not work for your own benefit, for your gains. It doesn't mean don't do the work of God, but they changed this word of God in some other way. So when Jesus was healing the sick people, it was the work of God. It was not for his monetary gain. But they were trying to accuse him. So Jesus said, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? And then he healed the sick person. Even though they tried to accuse him, he didn't just say, I will just avoid them. Those who follow goodness, they do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Jesus did good things, good work. So, and show the sign of God. And the evil ones should have repented, but they didn't. After Jesus healed the person with a withered hand, Matthew 12:14 says, even after seeing the sign of God, the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. This is how evil people are when they have evilness. Even after seeing goodness, even though they are trying to accuse him, Jesus answered them with a good answer, and he showed what was good with a sign, but they still didn't like it. So they went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Not only that, but whenever Jesus performed, showed, manifested signs of God, and they were following him and they were threatening the family of those who were healed. And even when he revived the dead Lazarus, they were trying to kill this Lazarus. Matthew 12:2 onward, Jesus said that we have to judge according to its fruit. He is goodness itself. And he had to say, you brood of vipers. And why was it? There was a man who was demon-possessed and deaf and mute because of the demon. And Jesus drove out the demon and he became normal. So he could speak and he could see. So he recovered and he became healthy. And those who tried to persecute Jesus, the Pharisees, after seeing Jesus performing, manifesting signs of God, they said Jesus was doing it by the power of Beelzebub, the king of the demons. They were creating this kind of a groundless accusation. How evil is this? Jesus only did good works. He drove out demons and he gave peace to those who were sick and health to them. And these people were saying Jesus was doing those things by the power of Beelzebub, by the king of the demons. So they were creating this lie. So Jesus said, this is the work of God, which is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is a sin that will deprive of salvation, a sin leading to death. And he asked that, how can a man who does good work of God be a sinner? So if you produce good fruit, it means your tree is good too. And reading this, Jesus must have been so sorry and his heart must have been burning. You know, even after showing so many signs and wonders, there were still evil people who are trying to disturb the work of God. And so even in the later generations, we can see, we can understand. So when evil people, evil people might try to accuse or condemn those who do the good work of God. So we can discern between what is really good and evil. We can just see the fruit. And Jesus, he did only good things. He only showed the power of God. And the evil people were groundlessly accusing him that he was evil. He was doing the work of God by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus himself must have felt, I'm doing only the good work and seeing this good work. How can they say this is evil fruit? And I thought I could feel his heart. It's the same in this world. When we do the part of, when you show the part of God, when somebody shows the part of God, we must not make any reckless judgment that it is evil. Even in this church, we have countless accounts of the part of God. So many signs and wonders, extraordinary things, proving that the Bible is true. And there were so many helpless people. You know, with incurable diseases, even with the modern medical science. And these evil people, they were saying Jesus was evil. Jesus was doing his work with the part of Beelzebub, and Jesus was defending himself, saying, "This that can't be possible. A bad evil tree cannot produce good fruit, and evil tree, good tree cannot produce evil fruit." And he, such a works, powerful works are taking place in this church as well, especially last year in the summer retreat. There were so many people who were demon possessed, and then they were set free, and now they are living a peaceful life. And let me just deliver to you just one testimony. A deaconess Yun Young Yang in 9th parish, I was demon possessed since I was 7. So she suffered for 42 years. She is 50 years old. She, regardless of my will, I spoke strange things and the demons were telling me to die and that I would go to hell and my destination is fixed. And I could hear them discuss among themselves how to kill me. And I was diagnosed with depression, and I took many medicines, but I had visions and hearings, and I committed suicide many times, but somehow I was saved by the help of my neighbors. I wanted to be saved, but I kept on speaking evil things. I couldn't do my work. I couldn't do the housekeeping. So the demons, they would disturb her, give her pain here and there. They would try to disturb her from eating, so she was very skinny. The demons, they give pain, they give suffering. So they give a hard time, and they let them suffer through guilt, sense of guilt. But God gives peace. And she had been suffering for such a long time. And in preparing for the summer retreat in August 2017, I summarized the message of the cross. The demons would disturb this kind of work, but the pastors helped her. So she barely managed to summarize the message of the cross, and she attended the summer retreat. The senior pastor said the identities of the demons would be revealed and they would leave. But then the power of darkness led me to another place outside the summer retreat location. This kind of thing happened. I saw it happen a lot of times. For those who are demon possessed, when the family members help them with the fasting and prayers, so then they can come to this kind of a meeting And when the amount of intercession is not enough, these demons, they let them leave this meeting so that they wouldn't be able to receive the prayer. So I've heard such a case many times. So sometimes during the summer retreat, these people go all over the mountains and everywhere. So, you know, sometimes they had to report them missing. But then through the prayer of the senior pastor, they came back. But anyway, so demons, they try to, once they go into people, they take over the place of the master and they try to control these people. They don't want to leave at all until the end. So on the first day of the summer retreat, she went out and she couldn't receive the prayer of the senior pastor. But the power of the shepherd, the original voice of the shepherd was already spoken forth. And also through the intercession of the parish members, later the demon was driven out eventually. Before the demon left, 120 prayer devotees, they hugged her, singing, "I love you, flock of Manmin." And she shed a lot of tears and her heart was melted by the word love. And she said many demons. And it wasn't just a single demon, but there were multiple number of demons. And after the demons left, she said, "When I wake up in the morning, I feel I'm in heaven. I do all the housekeeping work and I preach the gospel to my neighbors and I attend the dinner prayer meeting in the evening and sing praises and I dance just like a child. And I gave up on myself and I give thanks to senior pastor for praying for me and I give all thanks and glory to God the Father who has changed my life into a happy life." Deaconess Yun-kyung Yang, she wants to do a lot of things. She wants to be faithful in the kingdom of God. She wants to make visitations to a lot of members. She wants to be a cell group leader. And she attends all the Daniel prayer meetings every night. And in the second part of the Friday Olai service, usually the students, they come out in the front to sing and dance. And she always comes there together. And how happy she must be. She had suffered from demons for 42 years of her life, and she wanted to commit suicide, and nobody could help her. And her husband was very a good-hearted person. He had been very patient, and their family is a really happy family. And who did this? It's the work of God the Father through the shepherd. And this kind of happiness was given to her and her family. Without the power of the shepherd, she must be suffering even now. And there are not just one or two people like that in this church. We can't openly say everything about the demon possession. They don't want to open everything. But when we hear their actual testimonies, we are really surprised and we see really that they are so happy now after the demons left. And when Jesus drove out demons, they try to destroy Jesus. And our shepherd is also going through this similar kind of thing. And we are seeing this thing, the similar thing happening. And in this church, we don't just have like hundreds or thousands of cases, but there are countless people who have been changed by the power of God and the Word of God. Last week, I gave you some testimonies of those who were changed by the power and the Word of God in this church and who also received help from the senior pastor and who are leading a happy life now. And many people, they were saying to me, "I'm a fruit of the shepherd. Pastor, I'm a fruit of the shepherd. I was healed by the power of God through the shepherd. I received charitable work from the senior pastor, and my life is changed." And so many people were saying to me these testimonies. And one of the male members, before he changed, he was smoking and drinking, and he was throwing temper tantrums and a lot of things to his family members. And after listening to the word of God through the shepherd, he quit smoking and drinking. Now his family is happy. And there were another person there was an incurable disease. And senior pastor never gave up on him, and he kept on praying for him. And he finally received the health, and now his business is thriving, and he's now healthy. And those who are doing the business with him, they were telling him, they are telling him that Reverend Jaduk Lee, he healed you through his prayer, and he's such a good person. That's what the even unbelievers are saying. And one of the people, members, and she is also changed by the messages of the shepherd, and she couldn't give this testimony, but now her heart is burning and she wants to give her testimony. And let me, what she was saying is she had depression and she committed suicide many times, and her body was not healthy, of course, obviously, and she suffered so much from depression. And after listening to the messages of the senior pastor and received the prayer, all her depression was healed, and her family became happy, and she received the help of charitable work from the church, from the senior pastor, and she had children, and they must have gone astray if she tried to raise them herself. But now, by the word of God, even her children are doing well. And there are so many people who are telling me all these testimonies, but I can't deliver all of them to you because of time limit. But I feel that your hearts are burning. You, because you are healed by the power of God through the shepherd, and you have received the charitable work from the church, from the shepherd, and I believe you want to testify. You want to be the witnesses, and I hope you will give offer up prayers of thanksgiving that you have met with a good shepherd, good church, so your lives has been changed, and now you are made aware of the New Jerusalem, and you are full of the hope of heaven. And so I believe if you offer up these prayers, you will, the Father will be happy through your prayers of thanksgiving. Before I get to the second part of this message, second session of the Fruit of the Shepherd, let me give you one more testimony. Most church members, they have many kinds of consolidated kind of multiple testimonies. Dongsun Lee in 16th Parish, he received charitable work from 2004 until now for 15 years. He had a lot of stories in his life. The Korean War broke out when he was in the fifth grade. And so he lost his father and brothers. And after the war was over, he had to live with his single mom. Now he is 79 years old. 1962, he had TB. And there was a Buddhist monk who offered some good medicines, herbal medicines. And since then, I went into Buddhist. And since 1967, I became a head of the Buddhist temple. And what was amazing, after some big meetings, I dreamt that I was under some big cross. Then I had myocardial infarction, and also because there were some problems in the Buddhism itself, I had some doubts about it, and I left Buddhism in 30 years. Then I became a guarantor for a loan of my friend, and the friend, when his business was in bad situation, he ran away, and I had to pay back his debt. And the interest amount of the interest multiplied, and I couldn't deal with it. So I had severe headache, difficulty hearing, speech disorder, and I was diagnosed with hydrocephalus, and I couldn't afford the surgery, and I didn't want to live, so I gave up getting an operation. And I couldn't deal with the situation anymore. And with my wife, we wanted to commit suicide together. And before committing the suicide, I was trying to gather my things in my mind. And I was in front of a subway station, and then I was arrested by a police officer because of a debtor. And then in the police station, I came to know Elder Jung-ik Jeon, a member of Mamun Central Church, and this was a big turning point in my life. He was kind, and he testified of God that he met, and he let me receive the prayer of Reverend Jeon-ik Lee on the automated response system in the telephone. At that time, I was suffering from headache, heart disease, back pain, and paralysis in the legs. I couldn't bear with the pain, and because of his earnest preaching, I couldn't refuse it, and I came to church. So there are some good police officers. You know, they don't just treat the accused as criminals. So anyway, they try to preach the gospel to them, and they are nice to them. They treat them in a humane way. So in the Sunday morning service, listening to the spirit, soul, and body messages of the senior pastor, I was so impressed. And I was so surprised because I had been searching for myself for so many years. And I came to church the next Sunday and came back home. And suddenly I burst into tears. And I came to have faith little by little with the interest and love of the parish pastor and the parish members. And in June 2004, I received the prayer of the senior pastor for the whole congregation, and I shook hands with him, and I felt like some wind was blowing in my chest, and I felt the heat, and there was some joy, and inexpressible joy and emotions that I couldn't express with words. Then I came outside, and then I had all my headache, herniated disc, back pain, paralysis, speech disorder, and myocardial infarction, everything was gone. He received a prayer for the whole congregation, for the whole group, and he just touched his hands. And then all these diseases were cured at once. And then I began to work in construction site. And until then, he just wanted to commit suicide without any plan for the future. And because all the pains were gone, and he came to understand the Word of God, the truth. And now he had hope of life, hope in the life. So he became healthy. So he began to work in a construction site. And he attended prayer center meetings. And he repented of idolatry. And he was filled with the hope of heaven and joy. So his family is evangelized now. And 6 family members are Christians now. And knowing that my family had a lot of debt, the senior pastor began to help me. And now I'm diligently going on the march of faith to become holy and to be faithful for the kingdom of God. And try in an effort to pay back this grace, I do the voluntary service in the lunchtime on Sundays. And I clean the bathrooms, and I preach the gospel, and I give thanks and all glory to God the Father, and I give deep thanks to Senior Pastor for praying for me. So the whole family became believers. How could they not? The head of the family, and they didn't have any hope of life. They were suffering from so many diseases, and they had the great debt. And his conscience is good. Right after he was healed, he began to work on a construction site. He had this kind of upright heart. So knowing this, his financial difficulty, he was not a big leader in the church. He was just a layman member, but because he was trying to lead a good Christian life with an upright heart, the senior pastor has been helping him for the last 15 years, and because of thanks to his help, they are trying to live their life with happiness. And they're not even his family. And it's not that senior pastor is helping them himself directly, but sometimes he doesn't even know who he is helping, even after giving him a big amount of money. Oh, I helped him so much. So of course they should be faithful to the church. After helping them, he just forgets about them. So sometimes I remind him that, oh, you helped him, you helped this person, you helped, did I? That's what he says. After doing a good work, he doesn't reveal it. He doesn't even remember it. He just loves his flock. He just says, they are my beloved flock. And whoever tries to live by the word of God, and if they're still in difficulty, he tries to help them. That's the goodness and love of the shepherd. So this Dongsun Lee and his family, they have been changed by this love and love of the shepherd. Who is giving this joy and happiness? It's the love of the Father God and the Lord, and who is practicing this, the love of the Father and the Lord, the shepherd. So this love gave them happiness and joy, and this is the truth, and this is the fruit of the shepherd. Last week, I talked about us who are changed by the word of the shepherd, because he teaches about sin and righteousness. So we are changed by the word of God. We are purified. And that's the kind of testimony I gave you last week, last Sunday. And other than these, there are so many kinds of testimonies. Let me talk about his humbleness, the humbleness of the senior pastor. When I ask you, please answer truthfully without any falsehood or pretense. He performs with so many signs and wonders, and he has 11,000 branch churches all over the world because he's the senior pastor. Is he arrogant because of that? Is he authoritative, and is he coercing in any way? No. And using these kinds of words itself, it's kind of embarrassing. And we would say he doesn't know him. They don't know him at all. He's so humble. We have experienced, we have seen it so, all through these years. He serves even the little children. Senior, let me talk about his humbleness. He just serves even the little children all the time. You know, when you line up, and if you have toddlers, you know, on your back, then he reaches far away. He stretches out his hand to touch the head of to bless these little children. And when the students, they line up, when he makes any appointments, he goes there half an hour before for any kind of appointment. So one time I accompanied him, and we went to a certain place together, and he thinks about, even about the traffic jam and everything. So he was very near the place, very too early. So the Elder Choi, he drove very slowly. So senior pastor asked him, why are you driving so slowly? So Elder Choi explained, and senior pastor said, if you go too slowly, it'll disturb. I mean, it might disturb the car behind us. So that's the kind of consideration he has. Even in restaurants, you've heard so many stories about his kindness and consideration. The Mrs. Lee, because she's the mom, you know, when there's a side dish, it runs out, that she always asks them to bring more. Then senior pastor says, please don't. Why would you command them, you know, give an order? Please don't tell them to do anything. If this runs out, we have these other dishes. We can have them. And he doesn't even know these servers. And in Korean restaurants, we can ask for more of the side dishes. But senior pastor always tells us not to ask for more. He's never impolite or rude to anybody. We sometimes said, praised us. In a session with the performing arts committee members, maybe there was some soup. There was the bowl of the soup may had a crack, and there was the soup was spilling. The other workers, they must have been so embarrassed. And he said, "Oh, it's fortunate that my bowl had a crack. So I can just change my clothes. He is the senior pastor. He is the leader. He never thinks, he never says, how can you make this, let this happen to me? You know, he covers even the faults of other leaders. So that they would, you know, he tries to cover them so that they wouldn't be aware. If other people didn't see it, he would have hid it and kept it to himself so that the others wouldn't have found it out and be embarrassed. And if you attend this church for just several weeks, you'd know. I feel embarrassed to talk about these things, but let me just mention some of them. Whether they are educated or not, whether they are old or young or rich or poor, he doesn't discriminate anybody against anybody. Just because they are poor or just because they are rich, he doesn't discriminate anybody. He just treats them, he treats everybody in the same way. Everybody has a different character, personality. And of course, they don't have anything, any hard feelings against the senior pastor. Sometimes they talk brusquely or in an aggressive way. He doesn't say anything about them. He just serves everybody. Even when he lost all his energy and life force and his body is shaking, he, you know, kneels. He goes on his knees to pray for some, you know, the leg problem, a foot problem of the church members. Because he can just lay his hand on the head. But the sick people, they want, you know, when they get more faith, when their sick parts are touched, he feels it's hard to stand up or sit down and stand up. For that person, he couldn't even stand up, but she feels amazed that she can stand up. And she came in on wheelchairs. She's amazed. Is it some kind of a makeup or production? Of course not. She came on her wheelchair. And when he prays, he just prays on his knees. He is such a humble pastor. He's our shepherd. And sometimes the leaders, they ask, please go there, please go. Then he goes there, please come here. Then he comes here. He's so obedient. Preparing for this message, and he is the most obedient even before Father and the people. He is the most obedient. Am I making this up? Am I trying to just defend him with some kind of lie or pretense? If I try to make up something, the church members wouldn't like it. But you know it is true. And you are also witnesses. Even though you are not very close workers, you've experienced what kind of life he is living. He doesn't have any, you have never experienced any tantrum or arrogance or anger from him. We've just seen goodness and gentleness from him. He never gives any instructions or orders or command. Of course, as the head of the church, he can do that. But he's just worried that the others might not be able to accept them. You know, like in case of a gapjil, which is reported by some American press too, like misuse of power. And he is the senior pastor of such a big denomination all over the world. And other pastors from all over the world, they recognize it, recognize his humbleness, his humility. When these people, educated people or powerful people, they see him, because it is flowing out, it cannot be pretended. And especially when you are listening to the Word of God, and if you have seen him, you know, and you can feel it, you know it, you've experienced it. And when he does the world evangelism, it's not because he had a lot of money sparing that he could spare. No, he saved his own expenditures, and he taught his family members in the same. If you keep on eating better and better things, you will be satisfied only by something better. So don't try to have something better. Don't try to eat something better, something more delicious. Resting and enjoying yourself on this earth, you can do that forever in heaven. So on this earth, just work for the kingdom of God. If you have any hope on this earth, He would have let his family have something good, eat something delicious. Why would he let all his three daughters become pastors? But when all his three daughters became pastors, he was so happy. If he had any hope in this world, he wouldn't have let us go this narrow way of a pastor. You know, because you have to make yourself obedient to the word of God, especially many pastors of mega-sized churches. You know, there are many problems with their family members, in fact. But our senior pastor, he sets an example of living by the word of God, so his family members are taking after his example. If he has any selfish motives or ulterior motives or desire for monetary gain, how can the family members follow his way? If he is seeking anything fleshly, then we can't follow his example. But as you see, he lives only for the glory of God, and all his family members are living for the glory of God, because heaven is so good. No matter what kind of difficult life you are living on this earth, if you become a great person in heaven, everything will be rewarded. We'll be paid back, compensated for all the hard work. Our Mrs. Lee, the president, director of prayer center, she's already more than 7 years old. And why would the senior pastor let her work so hard? Leading the prayer center and leading Daniel prayer meeting. It's because there is so much reward in heavenly kingdom. Because he is living that kind of life because he knows about heaven and hell so much. And that kind of life, he has been living this kind of life since he met the Lord until now. And more and more, more and more enthusiastically, more diligently. And if you think this kind of life is hard, then you become the prey of Satan. Some workers and leaders or members, they are changed by the word of God, the grace of God, and they receive the answer. So they are happy leading a Christian life. But why living that kind of life? At one point, they think, oh, it's hard to come to the Daniel prayer meeting every night. It's hard to beat myself to obedience to the word of God. Oh, it's hard. This kind of fleshly thought. Oh, I want to date somebody. I want to, you know, I did whatever I wanted. You know, I was going to movies and I was enjoying myself in the world. Then they don't pray anymore. And they go the opposite way of heaven. They go the way of hell. Then the enemies, devil and Satan, they wouldn't just leave you. They will bite you on the neck and lead you to hell. We mustn't become preys of Satan because we know about heaven and hell so clearly. And hell is never a place where you can go, where you can afford to go. And we have to live, obey the word of God. Some people, they say, several years ago, they left the church because they thought it was hard to come to church all the time. You know, I'm praying to change myself, but I'm not changing quickly enough. And when she had that kind of fleshly thoughts, and when she heard some words of deception, and she left the church, and she began to drink immediately, and she was committing sins immediately after she left the church. And she was surprised. What am I doing? I was going the narrow way. And then at that time, I cut off the worldly things. And what am I doing now? I'm befriending the world. I'm living in the world. And what am I? And she came to her senses, and she came back to this church. And as she began to attend this church again, she is happy again. Our shepherd has been teaching us to cast away sins, and he has been showing goodness and love, and he has been showing us the love of God and the Lord. This is the fruit of shepherd. This is the truth about him. And what is the fruit of the shepherd? He doesn't have any selfish desire, any desire for monetary gain. And you know about this. With the offerings that he's making to the church, we do the world evangelism, translation, costumes for the performing arts committee. So are you jealous because he's providing them with these costumes for performing arts committee? He is trying to help them because it is for the glory of God, because God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to receive our praises. But the men of God, the mankind, the people, they live for their own glory and not for the glory of God. So that is why he made this a performing arts committee. And these members, performing arts committee members, they are trying to give the glory to God, and they can't be committing sins. They can't commit sins while praising God. God says it's abhorrent, it's detestable. So they first have to love God, and they have to stop committing sins, and they have to live in holiness. And also the performing arts committee members, the sisters, they are beautiful. They are the brothers, they are handsome, and people, they try to seduce them. So that is why the senior pastor had to take care of them spiritually and personally. So some of them, they are full-time workers in the church, and some of them are not. And even though they are not full-time workers, senior pastor helps them get lessons because it's hard for them to afford them. So even though they are full-time workers, even though they are paid by the church, it's not so much. It's just for their living expenses. So the church has to provide them with the costumes and the lessons. But the church didn't. They couldn't. So senior pastor is doing it himself. So when I was talking about it in the first morning service, the financial director, he said, since last year, they are doing it from, the church is doing it, providing them with the lesson fees and costumes. But anyway, the senior pastor is doing all these things in so many, helping so many people in so many areas. So these performing arts committee members, they are trying to give glory to God. And if they are financially suffering, they wouldn't be happily be able to give glory to God with their praises. So that is why senior pastor is helping them. So even when he is helping them, he is entrusting them with this money so that the workers, church workers, can do it, do the work. And also our financial committee, we have many people from banking sector. So, and financiers, and senior pastor doesn't even go to the general affairs office. This financial director, he said, there are five levels of approval. So the five levels have to be approved all together for any money to be spent. So it is all computerized. So everything is there in the database. So nobody can cheat about anything. And senior pastor, right from the opening of the church, he said, pastors are not supposed to touch God's money in the church. So he gave this duty of managing the church money to workers, even though they were not really qualified in the beginning of the church. Also, how about this word of God? He communicates with God deeply, and he receives this revelation, message of the cross, measure of faith about heaven and hell, all these deep revelations, spirit, soul, and body. How can one person, how can a man understand these things, receive these things? He receive them, these words of God, with fasting and so much fasting and prayer in different prayer houses. He was going here and there when he didn't have a prayer house of his own. But now he has a prayer house. But before, now he is inviting the church members to his prayer house. So he's decorating this, his prayer house so that they can feel like it is heaven, so that they can have more hope of heaven. But before that, he didn't decorate his, prayer house at all. At first, the place looked shabby. So the church workers, they felt sorry that he is in such a shabby place. When he first had Galilee Prayer House, you must remember, if you have been there, the house was, the materials were not good at all. But now he is decorating his prayer house for the members, not for himself. He is making this stream of water to remind you of the water of life, the river of water of life. And just to remember what you've seen there. There's nothing fleshly. Everything is about hope of heaven. The nature that God the Father created through the flowers, the trees, the fish, the water, stream of water. It is to give us joy and happiness and hope of heaven. It is so that we can, He made some sports facilities so that we can feel the joy of heavenly kingdom. When He first invited students, teenagers, we were quite worried. You know, these students, you know, when they hang out with their friends, you know, they usually play with their smartphones. They watch things on the YouTube. They watch TV episodes or movies or things like that, on so many different kinds of things on YouTube. But when you know, they were invited to a prayer house, they couldn't be watching these their smartphones. And what would they do all day long in the prayer house? They were, the students themselves, they were worried. But the moment they set their foot on the prayer house, he touched their hands one by, you know, each one of them, every single one of them. And when they received this prayer, they were healed of their sick parts, and they eat a nice food, delicious. The menu was for their liking. You know, the things that the teenagers would like. Of course, there is beef or, you know, meat and other things like pizza or chicken or some snacks, other kinds of soft drinks, some ice creams. Some of them had more than 20 cones of ice cream. And everything is free. And so the teenager students, they don't play computer games without the smartphones. They were at first worried that they wouldn't have anything to do, but being there for the whole day, they were filled with a fullness of spirit. They even have cotton candies. We didn't have it in the spirit festivity, but they had this some competitions, and he gives them, senior pastor gave them reward, awards. So they wouldn't have hope for this earth, but they could have only hope for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So this is what he's been doing. They can enjoy themselves. They can eat whatever they want, you know, delicious things. And he is changing these Manmin students, and he's giving them hope of heaven. And also, he's giving us hope, the layman members, everybody, that if we go into spirit, we can visit this place. And that was to open his personal space. He's using it as if like a seminar hall, conference hall. If he had any selfish desire, why would he open his prayer house? Why would he invite everybody? He can just keep it to himself. Maybe he can just make everything good and keep it to himself. But of course, he's not a person, kind of person who would make good things and keep it to himself. It is just to show us, give us hope that he made all these beautiful things, stream of water, planted flowers and trees and everything, decorated everything. When we had a lot of fine dust, he prayed for that problem, so there was a strong wind and it would go away. And he opens everything without hiding anything. And that's what we've been seeing for the last so many, last 35 years, 36 years. This is the truth. This is the fact. Just think about it. What is he hiding? Why would he, did he make his prayer house to brag about it? You know, the little children, they can come when they go to middle school, so they have the hope. And grown-up adults, they have the hope that they can go there once they go into spirit. They can take photos with him. And this is same Korea, but this is a spiritual space. So we long for it so we can change more, we can change ourselves more. So that is the hope, and that is our motivation. He doesn't hide anything. So that is the love of the shepherd. And even today, because we are accomplishing world evangelism because our pastors have to become powerful pastors. So he makes a place for a conference. Maybe senior pastor, he can just have his own prayer house. But he just doesn't want that to end there. And when he's making all these things, does he use church money? No. God blesses him, and so many people who are healed by his prayer all over the world, they give thanks offering to him. And with that, with those money, he doesn't spend for himself. He doesn't spend it only for his family. He never let us have something more delicious. He's always telling us, you shouldn't try to have something more delicious and more delicious. And while saying that, he just gives everything he has to all the church members. He doesn't have any authoritative attitude, and he doesn't have any of that kind. And also about GCN TV, he has been making it possible by his faith. And is there any advertisement on GCN? No, there's no advertisement at all. Maybe you can make your ads, commercials, your restaurants or your shops, things like that. But he never does that. He never calculates anything. He never thinks about profit. He just invests and spends for the kingdom of God. Everything for free. And since the opening of the church, he is telling us not to have any money exchanges among the church members. And he's been advising us from time to time. And if you disobey, of course, sometimes you suffer and you become prey of Satan. So let us take after his example, who is very obedient. So let us obey his advice. Also, appointing leaders in the church, he doesn't do that himself. Right from the small group members, mission group members, all kinds of leaders, we are electing them by our own hands right from the beginning of the church. In most churches, many times the senior pastor, they appoint them. Because, those people, the pastor feels so comfortable with. You know, they usually appoint them. So then if that is the case, sometimes these workers, they try to just do what the pastor is pleased with. But our senior pastor, he never did that. In case of us group members, we have group members according to the age. So we elect small group members, mission group members, and also United Mission members and Consolidated United Mission leader. And he never says anything about electing anybody. He just wants the election to be completely fair. During the election time, he is very careful about giving any testimony. He is very careful about giving any praise to any pastor, so that they might not think, oh, he is supporting this person. So he is so upright and honest in all these things, and fair and unbiased. He doesn't show any of his personal opinion. Oh, he doesn't say, oh, somebody has great faith. Somebody's very good-hearted. You know, he has never said anything like that, especially during election time. He just acknowledges anyone who you elect. And so if you say he is authoritative or coercing, it's very embarrassing to say these things. And actually, it is very embarrassing to talk about him in this way. But in the world, there are so many people who misuse their power. So, I'm just saying that we we want to be, we want to take after his example. But of course, while we have to take after his example, a pastor has to have the fruit. He must have the evidence that God guarantees him. God is with him. So what is the evidence? Jesus said in John 14:11, "Believe me." When Jesus was ministering, the evil people, they followed him everywhere, trying to accuse him. And they were passing judgment and condemnation on him. Some of them were saying, how can he be the Son of God? So there were people who didn't want to believe what he was saying. So John 14:11 says, Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, if you cannot believe, believe because of the works themselves." If you cannot believe my words, believe because of the works that I do. He was driving out demons through his command. The sicknesses were healed. The weaknesses were strengthened. Just by touching the edge of his robe, a sickness was healed. So seeing these things, believe. He was earnestly telling them to believe, seeing the power. Psalm 62 verse 11 says, "Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Signs and wonders belong to God." It is the evidence that God guarantees these people. Please keep it in mind. So the fruit speaks for itself. Pastors, they have to have these fruits of power. But these fruits of power cannot just be given to any pastor. They can be given to only the servants that God recognizes and acknowledges. It's not easy to be given. And this power belongs to God completely, and it cannot just be given to any random person. Suppose God cannot give this power to a sinful man. And because they have sin, they will become arrogant, and they will try to get money out of it, and they will try to suppress others. They will lift themselves up. So God cannot give this kind of power to those people. God can give his power only to those who will not change their mind, even after receiving the power. So God will strictly and very strictly test them and test them again before he gives the power. Maybe we can cheat men, but not God. So God knows whether they are really holy, whether they have any evil. And so God lets them go through so many trials and tests so that they will prove themselves. So please keep it in mind. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So if you have sinned, you will not receive any answer to your prayers. John 9:31 also says, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him." God hates sin so much, so he does not hear sinners. Please keep it in mind. So we can really discern between who the man of God is. So there are so many powerful works of God taking place in this church. But because the time is already up, I cannot tell you everything about the power of God. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about those testimonies of receiving the blessing of conception, because I don't have time, I cannot give you these testimonies. We have Pastor Kwan Gyu Lee and his wife. They received the blessing of conception in 13 years of their marriage. And they went to many fertility clinics, many famous clinics, but they couldn't get a baby. They couldn't get conceived. But after they came to this church and received the senior pastor's prayer, in 2 months, Mrs. got pregnant, and now Seonggyeol, he is 10 years old. Also, we have Elder Ju and senior deaconess Yun Young Choi. So they received the blessing of conception in 5 years of marriage. So that's how, beginning with their family, Yamagata Mami Church in Japan was founded. You may think of after 5 years they could have been conceived, but in case of Yunyoung Choi, she was born in 7 months of pregnancy and she was very weak and medically. She also had heart surgery, so she couldn't, medically she couldn't have a baby. It was very practically impossible to conceive. But when she came to this church, it was not for blessing of conception, but she had some kind of a middle ear infection, which could develop into a brain tumor. And she was suffering from it. And her mother was healed of a rheumatoid arthritis, and she advised her to come to this church and receive the prayer in the revival meeting. So she received the prayer, the pain was gone, and she was healed completely. And then after she went back to Japan, as a bonus, she got conceived as well. So she gave birth to the first son and second son, and she conceived the third child. And they found out that the third was also a son. And they wanted a daughter because they already had two sons. So, through senior pastor's prayer, I was conceived, she thought. So God is a creator. So He can change the gender of my baby in my womb. So she came to receive senior pastor's prayer. Now they say it's son and they want a daughter now. So they received the prayer. So they went back. And the son was changed into a daughter, and now they have a beautiful daughter. And other than these, there are so many testimonies. Also, Elder Busam Kim, and there are a couple also. They were infertile for so many years, but that through senior pastor's prayer, they had a baby. So it's not because we are fools or we don't have discernment, but we have seen so many signs and wonders, the evidence of God being with us, God being with a senior pastor. And even now, today, there are so many people all over the world who are sending their prayer requests for blessing of conception or changing the sex of their fetus. So we cannot give all these testimonies, even if we talk about all night long. So we have so many testimonies on the website, everywhere, Mami magazines. So other than these, there are so many good fruits of the shepherd. His goodness, his kindness and gentleness. But other than these, there are also so many wonders. Dragonflies, rainbows, the optimal weather for all events, for Manmin events. And during the summer retreat, we have the optimal temperature, regardless of the actual weather. And we have Manmin praises. And also the words of God that was revealed by the Lord, with which so many pastors and believers all over the world are being changed. And so many pastors are delivering these messages. Also, there are so many works of God taking place through the prayer of the handkerchief. And also, we have very active world evangelism that let the people know that God is living and the Lord is, Jesus Christ is our Lord, through broadcasting and publication and so many other kinds of media. So they were all done by the guaranteeing of God. And whenever these fruits were revealed, the enemy devil hates it so much. So they try to disturb it. They try to with the evil things. So Matthew 5:11-12 says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And we are witnessing what is happening in the Bible. Even though you are not personally persecuted, we have to see the schemes of the enemy devil who try to destroy the kingdom of God. So let us all come forth as fruits of glory later. Let us pray together thinking about the message.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.